Well, good morning. John, bring a guitar with you when we get up to heaven, because I want to sing that song too when we get up there. So bring it with you. Let's do it. Well, you know, when Tiana was around 2 years old, her doctor wanted us to get her checked for strabismus, which is a disorder in both eyes, do not line up, the cross-eyed syndrome, if you will, in the same direction. And for part of that test, the doctor needed to put eye drops in Tiana's eyes. Well, she was having none of that. So the doctor asked the nurse to hold Tiana's arms down so he could get the drops into her eyes. So as Paulie and I stood off to the side there, they proceeded the process of holding Tiana's arms down as she laid down, and boy, did she scream. And she asked me to help her out. Well, now, of course, everything was fine, but for those moments, Tiana thought she was going to be harmed. And I just stood there. In her mind, didn't her dad know how bad the whole process was? Was he unable to stop the nurse from holding her down and the doctor from using those drops? Now, imagine this. Imagine if Tiana went back to daycare that day and told her fellow toddlers how painful and uncomfortable that process was, and how powerless her dad was to stop it from happening. Now, is any of this true? Well, the story's true, but Tiana's thoughts were not true. Did I know how uncomfortable and scary this process was? Yes, of course I did. Was I powerless to stop the process? No. Paulie and I brought her in for the test, and we could have stopped it at any time. Didn't I care about my daughter? Oh, very much. In fact, Paulie had to hold me back because I almost grabbed old Nurse Ratchet to get her off my daughter. Right? Yeah. Woo! She was probably a perfectly lovely lady, but at that moment, she was the enemy. I was ready to throw down. But in my head, and Paulie reminded me she needed to get this done and that she would survive. So what was the real problem? What was the real problem with all this? Well, my beautiful 2-year-old daughter couldn't see the whole picture. Therefore, she didn't understand that this was for her own good, and her mom and dad had to let it happen. In other words, her understanding was limited to only what she could see and understand at that moment. She was being held down in a dimly lit room by two strangers, and her daddy didn't step in. Limited understanding. This is a condition many Christians have today, especially when it comes to today's Core 52 topic of the supernatural. The supernatural. Now, there was a study from Barna back in 2009 that revealed that 73% of the youth had been involved, America's youth, had been involved in some form of psychic or witchcraft-related activity. The most popular of these activities included playing with Ouija boards, reading of witchcraft and Wicca-related books. In fact, more than 1/5 of all American teenagers had played games or video games featuring witchcraft or sorcery. More than 1/4 of teens had had their palm read or their fortune told. More than 2 million teens say they had communicated with a dead person. Nearly 2 million youth claim that they have psychic powers. The research revealed also that many churches fail to address the subject of the supernatural with sufficient frequency or relevance. One of the report's most sobering findings is that only 1/4 of churched teenagers recall receiving any teaching at the church in that previous year that helped to shape their views of the supernatural world. Now, while this research may have been based on the teenage audience, guess what? That same impact and that same influences are affecting single adults and families today. It is difficult to turn on the TV, check out the movie listings, or browse the bestseller list at your local bookstore without spotting several supernatural items featuring witchcraft, aliens, ghosts, or evil spirits. And as a church, it is vital that we learn what God's Word says about the issue of the supernatural. The Christian faith is a supernatural faith. It affirms the existence of evil and good spirits, heaven and hell, and angels and demons. Today I want to quote Vincent Adahosa, who was a former archbishop. My discovery is going to be your discovery. If we do not have the supernatural in Christianity, we have nothing to offer the heathen but a religion. And true Christianity is not a religion. You see, religion, what religion is humanity's attempt to reach out to God or the sacred or divine. But not Christianity. No, no. Christianity is a relationship. And it's God's attempt to reach humanity. God's reaching down to us. Christianity is so much bigger than just a simple rule book and lists of do's and don'ts and traditions to follow. In Christianity, it's God who initiates the relationship by revealing who he is to his human creation and by coming to us in the person of Jesus, the supernatural. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, a person is given the way to become righteous to the holy God and experience the true meaning of life. Now, the definition of supernatural that I'm talking about today is that which exists outside the natural realm and above and beyond our human realm. God himself is the original source of supernatural power. Amen? Supernatural power has the ability, listen to this, it has the ability to override natural laws and bring miraculous results into our lives. Paula, can I share the results of this week? Jenny? Paula's daughter, Jenny, recently got a diagnosis of cancer. First doctors didn't give her much hope, much time. She went down to Houston, specialists down there, started a different treatment that would attack directly, you know, the tumor. Had a CAT scan just this week, past week. They could barely see the tumor. Don't tell me God didn't have a hand in that. I'm not saying he didn't use medicine to his advantage. But he put the right doctors in the right place to talk to Jenny at the right time. He's had a church and many, many people praying for her. And he stepped in. And we're seeing the results of that. Paulie and I have a niece on her side of the family, Penelope. She's 5 this year. She just entered kindergarten, and she loves to tell us how important of a milestone that is. And Penelope, she is strong-willed and won't let nothing get in her way, including her little brother. Penelope was born 12, almost 13 weeks earlier, early. They didn't think she was going to make it. 3 months prenatal care, doctors and nurses. There were times that we get calls and be like, you've got to pray. It's not looking good. Tonight might be the night. Here she is, 5 years later, in kindergarten. There were people, including this church, praying for Paulie's brother and sister-in-law, praying for Penelope and the doctors. God stepped in with his supernatural power and did something. That's what we're talking about today. We're not talking about the culture, what the culture sees as supernatural. We're not talking about things like palm readings, mystics, magic, or what the world calls paranormal. The devil has used those things. Satan uses those things to try to copy or try to copy God's power and pervert God's supernatural power. While working all the while with those perverted versions of power to try to convince all of us that God is not supernatural. Now, I believe there's a great deal of confusion surrounding the concept of supernatural in both theology and the church, and it's because of the way culture defines it and the way, of course, Satan perverts it. Make no mistake, the devil does not want anyone here or around the world to understand that the real supernatural power comes from God. He does not want us to know that. The world's view of supernatural is influenced by the evil one who distorts the biblical understanding of supernatural. So that's why today we have to see today's verse in Core 52 through a new lens. We need to see the supernatural through God's lens. Now, a little context about today's verse. It is from the third and final parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 25. And it speaks to our final judgment. Many people have called it the parable of the sheep and goats. Many of you probably know it and have heard it. And throughout this parable, and in particular in this verse, our verse for this week, we see the supernatural referenced by Jesus. Matthew 25, 41. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons." There's a lot of supernatural in that verse. I want to be on God's right side. Who's with me? First, let me tell you, though, the word supernatural is not found in the original scriptures. It's a modern word. It's come along later in history. But the idea of supernatural is expressed by other words in the Bible. In the scriptures, we see Greek and Hebrew words such as spiritual, sign, wonder, and miracle. And all of these can be seen as the equivalent to supernatural. Take a look at this passage in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual, who are supernatural, can understand what the Spirit means. This verse is telling us that the natural man, the unspiritual, he or she has limitations. Spiritual teaching is foolishness to worldly people. He or she doesn't welcome things of the Spirit. Instead, they reject and refuse them. Because they are without the Holy Spirit, they have no understanding of God's teachings. They can't understand the supernatural. In fact, the natural man sees the supernatural as simply foolish. MCC, the first thing we need to understand about the supernatural is, as Christians, we believe in the supernatural. We believe. Let's look at some scriptures this morning. And by the way, there are going to be a lot of scriptures this morning. So if you don't get them all marked in your Bibles, write them down. And the reason for that is because I could sit here and give you my opinion. I could tell you stories about the supernatural. But I think we need to hear from God this morning on the supernatural. We need to understand what He's talking about and what He wants us to understand about the supernatural. 1 Corinthians 15:44. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. John 3:16. We know this one. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but... Right. Think about those two verses. Everything about the Christian life involves the supernatural. That first verse talked about death, and death is a natural process of life. But eternal life is supernatural, and that's what we get if we believe and receive that supernatural life. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We are in a battle between good and evil, and it's not flesh and blood, but in forces that are unseen and supernatural. Our daily battle is not human on human, right? Our daily battle is with the evil forces, the dark world, the unseen world, the evil spirits. That's where we're battling. That's what we're reminded of in the Scriptures. Hebrews 11:1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by believing and not by seeing. The unseen world. Since the supernatural is only known by faith, we therefore must live by faith. We got to live by faith. We must stay focused on God, His Word, prayer, living by faith, because the more entrenched we get into the natural world, the more we distance ourselves from the supernatural. The more, see if God's over here, right? And all the stuff in the world is over here. Your job, your kids' sports, right? All the different things you got to get your kids to. Your neighbors, right? Your relationships, your friendships. All that stuff is over here. And the more entrenched you get, the more you get pulled this way by the world, the farther God gets from us. We get sucked into the natural world, and God wants us to be over here with Him and involved in the supernatural battle. That's where He wants us. I want to look at three scriptures from that parable in Matthew 25 we talked about. I want to look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 31, verse 41, and verse 46. Verse 31 says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne." Of course, we've read 41 already. "Then the king will turn to those on his left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons.'" And then verse 46, "And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Supernatural. Doesn't sound like anything over here, does it? Doesn't sound like the worries about, you know, getting to work on time or making sure I get my promotion or making sure my friends on social media like what I post or getting my political views out there to the world. You know, what we just read sounds nothing like what the world tells us is important. Angels, the king's glorious thrones, eternal fire, devil and demons, eternal life. That's what God sees as important. That's what He wants us to be entrenched into. Another thing we need to understand about the supernatural is Jesus was very clear in His words about the supernatural. When you read this week, you're going to see that Jesus points out four aspects of the supernatural in the Scriptures. He actually points out some more, but Mark Moore focuses on four. But I want to encourage you to go read that chapter 25 on Monday or later today. But read it, because Mark Moore is going to spend more time covering each of these four aspects than I can today. So I want you to go read it and learn more about these four aspects. And Mark Moore does a great job in his book, so I encourage you, chapter 25, make sure you read that this week. John 14:1-2 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." Jesus is speaking here. "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" Jesus told His disciples about a heaven that was prepared for them. Jenna Jeffers, God's preparing a place for you. Right? Roger Lloyd, God's preparing a place for you. Yeah, exactly. Isn't that awesome? Every one of us, God is preparing a place for us. Heaven, it's real. Jesus don't lie. Jesus don't stretch the truth. He tells only God's truth, the truth. And there is a heaven that is prepared for all of us. Jesus, talking to His disciples and with a growing crowd that was growing up around Him as He was talking, in Luke 12:5 says, "Fear God who has the power to kill you and then throw you into," what's the last word? hell. Throw you into hell if you're reading and following along. Throw you into hell. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Jesus, after healing a demon-possessed man, was responding to the Pharisees in Matthew 12, 28. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Demons. Jesus talked about demons. Because they're real. In the supernatural, they exist. They are real. I got to tell you, I wasn't going to tell it, but I got to. College. This is where I discovered I don't like demons. Not because I personally met one, but I read This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. Anybody ever read that book? Yeah. My roommate gave me, says, you got to read this. I'm like, okay. Man, I'd walk home late at night across campus, see the shadows after reading that book. I'm like, there's a demon in there? I'm going to get to class quick. I'm going to get to my house. It scared me. It scared me. There was a couple weeks I did not sleep well. Here's something. But demons are real. I started studying scriptures after reading that book. And they're there. They are there. And Jesus tells us they are there. Later on, Jesus was sitting at the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came and asked him, What will signal the end of the world? And he explains it, and he says this when he's giving his explanation in Matthew 24, 31. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. He also talks about angels. Jesus talked about angels. He's talked about heaven. He's talked about hell. He's talked about demons. And he's talked about angels. Four key aspects of the supernatural. And Jesus talked about them. That means we should know about them and know that they are real. Finally today, I want to point out that the spiritual forces have to be conquered by spiritual means. Spiritual forces are more powerful than any of our natural skills and abilities. And therefore, we need that supernatural power of God working through us to gain victory over our enemy. As Christians, we have volunteered to fight in God's army, and God has given us the best equipment for the battle. We volunteered. You signed up. You didn't get drafted. When you chose to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you joined the army. You joined the family. When we open 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul reminds us that we are soldiers in Christ's army. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. They don't spend time over here. For then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. We were enlisted when we accepted Jesus. Jesus said, good, come with me. Let's go. Come follow me. Then Paul, in his letter to Ephesus, tells us how well God equips us for his battle. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. I love this scripture because it was actually the first sermon I ever gave was this scripture. In high school here at the church. So I love this passage. This passage is an amazing passage, and it should always give you hope. Even when you start to understand that these demons and the devil and this battle is real, this makes you understand how we can handle it, how we can fight this battle. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Remember last week we talked about when you see a therefore in the Bible? You want to know what it's there for. Well, we read 6:12 already. What was he talking about in the verse before? That this is a battle not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual. It's against demons. It's against the evil spirits. So to fight them, you're going to need every piece of God's armor. Every piece of it. Look at verse 14. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Got to put the belt on. Some of us have to put a belt on just to hold up our pants, but when it's God's armor, you've got to put the belt on, the belt of truth. Before a Roman soldier put on his armor, he put a belt around his waist. This held his garments together and served as a place on which he could hang his armor, as well as his sword. The belt of truth refers not to the facts of the gospel, but to a subjective truth. And that subjective truth is God's truth, which we know is the truth. A believer's integrity and faithfulness, as a soldier's belt gives ease and freedom of movement, because everything's girded up now, so you can move. You don't have to try to go into battle holding pants up and keeping the armor in place, right? That's what the belt does. It makes you ready. You're free to move, right? Having that freedom of movement so that truth gives us freedom with ourselves, with each other, and with God. God's freedom. Verse 14 goes on to say, on top of the belt of truth, and the body armor of God's righteousness. Ooh. Most of us know this as the breastplate of righteousness, covering that center mass. And this refers to the sanctifying righteousness of Christ practiced in a believer's life. So our breastplate, a soldier's breastplate, protects the chest from enemy's attacks. It protects it. But the breastplate of righteousness guards all of our believers' hearts, every believer's heart, against the assaults of the devil. And how do we protect? We're protected by the sanctifying righteousness of Christ. How did we become righteous? Through the craziest, most amazing supernatural event of all time. Jesus died on a cross for all of our sins, so that we would become his righteousness. And then what happened 3 days later? He rose from the grave. He conquered death so that we were going to receive the gift of eternal life. He proved Satan couldn't keep him in the ground. Satan had no control, no power over him. That sanctifying process is what protects you, what protects all of us in this battle. And it protects our heart. It protects our heart from the devil. The verse goes on to say, 15, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. The shoes of preparedness. The gospel of peace provides for our feet the shoes of preparedness so that we should always be ready to go do his will and to run in the way of his commandments. We have stability, sure-footedness. You can be ready for battle. You're ready to go. Woo! You have this because of the gospel, which gives us peace so that we can stand in the battle. The gospel of Jesus, we have that. Not our gospel, not somebody else's gospel, but the gospel of Jesus to stand on. That gives us our sure-footedness. That makes us ready, prepared for battle, ready to go into it. Verse 16, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, the Roman shield was so often so large that the soldiers could hide completely behind the shield. You can't see me. You know, the shield was there. It was hide behind. So that way, when arrows were being shot at him, spears, whatever, it blocked it all. This piece of armor signifies the unstaggered confidence in God, which always overcomes. The idea being that a Christian's unwavering faith, our faith in the Lord, can stop all the flaming arrows that Satan has aimed at us. We got to stand firm in our faith. Put that shield there. Protect you. Protect all of us with the shield of faith. But God didn't stop there. He says, I'm not done. Put on salvation as your helmet. 17, put on salvation as your helmet. The helmet of salvation. The assurance of salvation is a mighty protection for the head. And in these days, today, when we're living, there is so much false teaching all around us. It's there. Go to social media. You can find it real fast. All the false teaching that's out there. The strength of this helmet, the helmet that God gives us, is in the fact that God himself, through Jesus, is our salvation. He is our salvation. This helmet, this piece, like all the others in this armor, is a gift from God. You just have to take it. Believe in Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sin. Be baptized. Accept that helmet of salvation. If you want that kind of protection in your life, go get it. It's there. It's a gift. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's your sword. The Bible. Most of us have it on our phone, so it's even more compact, easy to get to, right? You have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, not the thoughts or opinions of men. That's not what we're fighting with. Jesus Christ did not fail to use God's Word. It wasn't written down. He knew it up here. But He used God's Word when He was tempted by the devil. He threw out Scripture right to the devil. It's like, you'd be wrong, boy. He threw it out there. There are many in our world that seem at a loss to know where to find the sword now. They don't know where to go to it. The devil has blinded so many, and in their minds, they imagine that the Word of God has been buried in a heap of ancient rubbish. It's just not real. It's not important. It's not accurate. And so they go on trying to fight the devil with useless sticks of their own theories. Guess what? They're going to lose. This is the only sword that we should be armed with, ready to fight with. Nothing but failure can follow where the Word of God is not preached, not shared, because the Holy Spirit of God, the author of life and blessing, can use no other weapon. The Word of God is our sword, is the sword of the Spirit. And then verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now, prayer is not the seventh part of the armor. Don't misunderstand me. But it is a valuable tool that God gives us in our spiritual battle with the devil. Paul exhorts the Ephesians to always be in prayer. He says that they should be praying at all times and is to be done according to the Spirit. This scripture emphasizes our need for continuing strength and power from God to face our enemy head on in our daily battles. Catch this. It's not, we do need to pray for each other and their needs and all the sickness and trouble that's going on in this world. We need to pray for everybody going through that. But we also need to be in prayer for the battle. We need to be praying for each other that we stay strong, we stay firm, that we put on the full armor, that we're ready for the battle. It's not just about praying for others and what they're going through. It's also praying for each other and ourselves to be battle ready. Don't forget that. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. We can't live the supernatural life on our own. The only way we can live the supernatural life is to let Christ and His power live through us. That's how we're able to accomplish infinitely more, because God is in us. The Holy Spirit is working through us. I have an illustration. I wasn't going to use it, but I think it'll work, so I'm going to use it now. But got a work glove here. It's a work glove, good, strong Velcro straps, good strong work glove. When you're working in a garage or out in the lawn, you know, these are good to have so you don't tear up your hands and don't get all greasy. I mean, these are good. So I got this work glove, and it's made to work. I mean, it was created to work. This isn't a winter glove or a glove you'd wear with an outfit or anything. This is a working glove. So I'm gonna give this a task. I'm gonna give it a job. I'm gonna put it to work. I'm gonna say, glove, pick up the Bible. You're all waiting to see if it happened, were you? Come on, glove. You know what? Maybe it just needs a little inspiration, a little motivation, right? A little, glove, you can do this. You were made to do this. You are going to overcome this. You can do this. Pick up the Bible. We're not winning this one, are we? All right, look, you know what? Maybe it needs training, a little discipleship. Let's help the glove out. Glove, you have five fingers. You're created. You're strong. You can just put them around that, pick up the Bible. Come on. Still not working. Wait. You know what this glove needs? It needs to be rededicated. It needs to have a new commitment to doing its job, right? Maybe we can baptize the glove, make it work, right? And then it can pick up the Bible. Better yet, glove needs community, needs other gloves to help it, to encourage it. You know, all kinds, even winter gloves, needs the whole community out there work. Come on, let's go. You guys get the point, right? All those things are great and wonderful. But this glove won't do its job that it's made to do until there's a hand in there, all the way through it, working all through it, ready to go. Then it can do whatever job it's been asked to do. It's the same with all of us, brothers and sisters. We can fight the battles. We can take on the supernatural if we have God, the Holy Spirit, working in us and through us with His power. We can be that work glove. God, the source of supernatural power, works His power through us and helps us defeat the forces of evil in and around our lives. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power is in and through us because of the Holy Spirit. Christians are sons and daughters of the supernatural living God who has chosen to take up residence inside us. We cannot remain the same when Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, is alive within us. You just can't. You just can't once that's in you and you know it. So the final question for today is a personal one. Once you believe the supernatural exists and know what the supernatural is, what actions should that cause you to do? What actions are you going to take? Answer that question is today's takeaway. It's just a quick list. I want you to just keep around with you, keep it in your Bible or something. But you're going to pray. We already talked about the importance of prayer. You're going to pray. What else are we going to do? We're going to study God's Word. We're going to know it like the back of the hand. We're going to make that sword a part of our lives. Woo! We're going to make it everywhere, ready to go. Thirdly, we're going to realize that the supernatural is all around us, everywhere we go. God's presence is here today. Supernatural. It's all around us. The other thing we're going to do is be aware of the enemy and his attacks. Oh, yeah, we got to be aware of that because he comes from every angle. Anybody ever been hit from a side you weren't expecting? Devil ever hit you when you weren't ready for it? Yeah, we have to be ready because he comes. And he's not just walking right out in front and calling you out. He's sneaking in from the side, from the back, through a friend even, maybe. Friend didn't even know they were being used like that. The devil knows how to do that. He knows how to hit you from all sides when you're not expecting it. Know that God is with us. Know that you have His power inside you, that we have the armor. He is with us. Know it. Believe it. Own it. We also need to gather together. We got to build each other up. We got to have praise and thanksgiving. We got to spend time building each other up, teaching each other, making ourselves stronger. Community, church. That's why we love Sundays, right, John? Sundays. That's why we get together. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. We got to get together and remember that all the time. And then finally, we got to share the gospel. We got to take all that and share the gospel. That's how we're going to overcome the enemy. That's how we're going to make a difference in this world. And that's how we're going to grow as a body of believers, grow as a community. And that's how we're going to be able to look Satan in the eye and just say, hey, Satan, bite the dust. Get out of here. We're in the Lord's army. His power is infinitely more than you have. And that's who we're sticking with. Devil, get out of our church, get out of our lives, get out of our families, get out of our workplaces, get out of our schools. It's like that rabbit who won't leave your yard alone, keeps digging. Get out! Satan, get out. Let's go to him in prayer.